Welcome to the Banner of Truth broadcast. The following program of inspiration is brought to you by the Free Reformed Churches of North America. You can find one or more Free Reformed Churches in this station's listening area. And now, the Banner of Truth with Pastor Hans Overdoon, the minister of the Calgary Free Reformed Church.
The repeated and overwhelming message of the Bible, dear friends, is that true and everlasting help is found for us only in trusting and following Jesus Christ. In that light, today's radio message on the basis of Scripture is entitled, The Christian's Only Comfort. In introducing this grand subject, let me mention both a couple of verses from Proverbs chapter 3 and from Acts 26. In Proverbs 3, King Solomon is writing especially to the younger generation of the covenant people of God. And he, in God's name, is urging them to pursue after the wisdom and gospel way of the Lord, stating only in that way is there true blessing for this life and the life to come. In Proverbs 3, verse 6, Solomon urges thus, In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Yes, the Lord shall direct and lead in all the ways that are good and upright and true and most fulfilling and promising now and forevermore, even for all who look to him. In that same chapter, in Proverbs 3, verse 15, the second half, the inspired writer, King Solomon says even that nothing in all the world can compare to trusting and following the Lord and all his gospel word. Along the same lines, do you know the testimony of the Apostle Paul as told in Acts 26? In that passage, Paul was giving a defense of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he gets two different responses. Festus, a Roman governor, considered Paul had become mad, literally a maniac, with believing the gospel of Jesus Christ. But Paul responded, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. And then the apostle appealed to King Agrippa, who was also hearing his message, and who knew something of the Old Testament scriptures and the teaching of the prophets. What is your response, King Agrippa? To which King Agrippa replies, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. In other words, King Agrippa saw and felt something of the convicting power of the gospel message that Paul was proclaiming. But yet he waffled and seemed bent on pushing it away. And listen then to Paul's response in verse 29 of Acts 26, speaking right to King Agrippa. I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds, meaning except these chains, which as persecuted Christian he was having on, en route to Caesar. One study Bible note states correctly concerning verse 29 how this is a prayer expressed as a wish from the heart of a loving gospel preacher who in love for all people desires each to be not just almost, but altogether a Christian. And why is this the case, do you think? Because the undoubted fact is nothing ever can in any way compare to the grace and glory of being a Christian. And you see, this also is what the summary gospel instruction, as given to us in the Heidelberg Catechism on the basis of Scripture, wants to make ever so clear to us. This 16th century catechism was written in a time of much political unrest and religious confusion and persecution. It was spearheaded by a godly prince named Frederick III. This godly German prince, Frederick asked a Christian professor, Zacharias Ursinus, and a Christian preacher, Caspar Olivianus, to write this catechism. Both these men were under 30 years of age, but they wrote a simple catechism of 129 questions and answers, which was first published in 1563 and republished over and over since then, and also translated into many languages and prized by Christians all over the world still today. There's every reason for us to value this catechism very highly, too, for it gives most faithful and all-important Christian teaching and instruction that both pulsates with and demonstrates clearly the heartbeat of the living Word of God. Of course, we never may view a man-written catechism as equal to the Holy Spirit-inspired scriptures as given to us in the Holy Bible. Yet how thankful we may and should be for this catechism, so clear and faithful in all its teaching, in submission to all of Scripture from Genesis to Revelation. It is so true in this regard what one preacher of our day wrote about the Heidelberg Catechism, saying, "The chief theological task facing the Western Church is not to reinvent or to be relevant, but to remember. We must remember the old, old story. We must remember the faith once delivered to the saints. We must remember the truths that spark reformation, revival, and regeneration." Indeed, dear friends, living now in our 21st century world, we must remember the all-time most precious gospel message as revealed in Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners. For that reason, what I'd like to bring forward also now is the first question and answer of that Heidelberg Catechism under the theme, as mentioned, "The Christian's Only Comfort." We will consider how it is a comfort so absolutely true, so absolutely complete, so absolutely sure, and so absolutely gracious. The opening question introducing the whole of the Heidelberg Catechism is this searching question: what is your only comfort in life and death? The question is not just a general question about what often comforts you or what gives you relief and happiness on occasion. Oh, how many ways that might be answered, really. But no, consider how this first question is far deeper than that. The question is, what is your only comfort in life and death? And the word comfort should be understood here as, what is your only security or consolation or that which gives you really ongoing fortitude and strength and hope and promise, regardless of your circumstances? What is it that you ultimately lean on that always satisfies and never disappoints but steadfastly fulfills your every desire and hope? What is your lasting confidence in all of your life, and yes, even in and through death? Listen to how the Reformation fathers of the 16th century said the Christian may answer this question, as given in Heidelberg Catechism, question and answer 1. "What is my only comfort in life and death, you ask? It is that I, with body and soul, both in life and death, am not my own, but belong unto my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, who with his precious blood has fully satisfied for all my sins and delivered me from all the power of the devil, and so preserves me that without the will of my heavenly Father not a hair can fall from my head, yea, that all things must be subservient to my salvation, and therefore by his Holy Spirit he also assures me of eternal life and makes me sincerely willing and ready from henceforth to live unto him." In short, the only comfort in life and death is knowing and trusting Jesus as given to us by God the Father and made known to us by God the Holy Spirit, and belonging to him in true faith, following always after him as only Savior and Lord, in submission to all his gospel word. Why is this Christian comfort so true? Or you could say, a matter so real? Well, here, notice with me how this only comfort faces honestly the reality of our situation left to ourselves. There are so many counterfeit comforts that just never are real and honest with us. The fact is, we live in a fallen and cursed world, and each of us are born as depraved and defiled sinners by nature, desperately needing the electing grace of God the Father and the redeeming work of God the Savior and the regenerating, renewing work of God the Holy Spirit. The book of Genesis tells and proves the devastating effects of the rebellion of our first parents, Adam and Eve, in the Garden of Eden, when they, instead of obeying God, listened to the devil and willfully rebelled against God. living now in this fallen and cursed world as children of Adam, you and I live under the bondage of sin and Satan by nature. And our worst problem is never our circumstances or needy situations in life, but that we, as children of Adam and Eve, are guilty, fallen sinners under the righteous condemnation and eternal punishment of God left to ourselves. We are all born in sin. And as one put it rightly, the heart of the problem we all have is the problem of our sinful hearts. The heart of the problem we all have is the problem of our sinful hearts. Yes, this is our root problem, which no comforts of the world or from anyone of our fallen race can ever resolve for us. No, not even any angels in heaven. How many so-called comforts the world offers us with this and that, and by this person and that person, but is there any lasting comfort and true security found for us without having this sin problem of ours really and radically dealt with in a redeeming way, pleasing to God Himself, and that counts forever and ever? No. Nowhere, anywhere will anyone find deliverance from our root problem of sin except with Jesus the Savior and belonging to Him in true faith and repentance. With Jesus Christ, we have the Savior of sinners that can be counted on most definitely for whoever repents of sin and believes on Him. And the Bible teaches us only with Jesus Christ, as revealed to us in the written Word and the Word made flesh, only with Him, yes, the crucified, risen Redeemer, do we find a Savior able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by Him. The point now is, dear friends, this Christian comfort is so true and real, exactly because it deals with this root issue of all our problems. In our fallen and troubled world, you can't help but notice so many comforts being promised without there being any honest facing and dealing with our root problem, being born sinners and haters of God and each other by nature, apart from the grace of God. But the Christian gospel is honest with us and gives a message of true comfort, dealing with all the facts of our sinful and hopeless condition left to ourselves. Notice, too, how real and true the first question is in speaking not just of life, but of death. Comfort for death. Oh, how many comforts are being advertised to us as worth everything, but that provide no help at all in the face of the reality of death. Death escapes no one. So you have a huge savings account. Will it help you when death comes? So you have the approval of others and are viewed by many as so good a person, yet when death comes and you have to meet the Almighty, holy and righteous God Himself face to face, what then? Without deliverance and remedy from your sin, how will you be able to stand before God and live? So you have done quite a lot of so-called good things for others. Is it enough for you to be accepted of God when you appear before Him? Doesn't God rightly demand from us perfect righteousness without exception in the last judgment day? We live in a culture today which tragically more and more hides the reality of the curse of death, and which today even wants only to celebrate death as part of our necessary evolving somehow to who knows what and where. But it is all so false and empty. The Christian faith, however, provides comfort honestly and wonderfully even in the face of death. Belonging to Christ the Savior, who lived and died in the sinner's place as triumphant Savior, we find true and real comfort both in life and death. For Jesus Christ, we know, as substitute for sinners, with His death on the cross, made perfect once for all payment for sin, bringing also thereby death to death, totally taking away its sting by His redeeming grace. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ, we read in Romans 6:23. Isn't this gospel comfort so confirmed to us too with Jesus' resurrection from the grave on the third day after He died? And the Bible saying He arose as the first fruits on His people's behalf. Something else that the first answer of the Catechism brings out so powerfully, showing the true and real comfort found with belonging to Christ, is the way the whole triune Godhead is behind and included in this comfort that God has for us in Christ Jesus. When belonging to Christ in true faith, you and I may know and be assured of God the Father's love and care in all our lives, and we may be so comforted with God the Holy Spirit's ministry as comforter from God in our hearts and lives, initially and all throughout our lives. True comfort is God-given and God-approved comfort. True comfort is comfort drawing from the one only triune God as fully revealed in Christ the Savior. And the Bible itself assures us this comfort from above for sinners like us is comfort most true indeed. Oh, we live in a world of constant passing and fading untrue and unreal comforts being proposed to us from so many ways, from all over. All comforts of man's own making, however, can in no way serve as the only comfort that endures in life and death. All worldly comforts and comforts of the other religions of man's own making all miserably fail to give that real consolation and lasting strength, whatever our situations. But the Heidelberg Catechism, in its opening question and answer, tells us on the basis of Scripture the only comfort so absolutely true. I say absolutely purposefully, because in our age of relativism and pluralism, in spite of what people say, this is yet the absolutely undeniable and unquestionable only genuine good news for whoever has ears to hear. In fact, the Christian's only comfort is not only absolutely true, but absolutely complete. Here, just think of it, how the first answer to the Catechism teaches faithfully not only about a comfort that holds in life and death, but it is a comfort for body and soul too. Again, how many bodily comforts are promoted and pushed in our times, but leave the soul to its peril, and the bodily comforts of the world don't ultimately fulfill what they promise. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world in physical and earthly comforts from this world and then lose his soul and ultimately also come to death? On the other hand, think of false religions that focus only on comfort for the soul but offer none for the body. But listen, the Christian's comfort promises total comfort for our total beings, body and soul. Jesus cares for his people, soul and body, and provides a salvation for the whole person, soul and body. How many Christians, when their body breaks down with weaknesses, with sickness and senility, even sometimes having to lose body parts, may receive so much comfort, knowing God will make all his redeemed people one day completely whole again, both in body and soul, and perfectly so even, fashioned like unto Jesus' glorious resurrection body, as Paul tells us in Philippians 3:21. The Christian's comfort in and through Christ is complete comfort for soul and body in both life and death, for now and forever. Oh, if you think this through, you have to agree all the money in the world can't buy the value of this complete Christian comfort for all who belong to Christ in true faith. The Christian's comfort is so complete too, in that it is a comfort providing real remedy and deliverance from not just some of my sins, but Christ the Savior fully satisfied for all my sins. And listen to this as well. Our Savior God delivers from all the power of the devil. What comfort if Christ saved us only from most of our sins, but not all? Or if the Savior had left some power to the devil to overpower us and destroy us after all? But no, in and with Christ Jesus, belonging to him, we have a complete Savior covering for us in our every need of ourselves. This is the gospel truth you need to hear. No matter how great sinners you and I are, and how great our sins and miseries of ourselves, and regardless of struggles from within and around us, yet with Jesus Christ, the crucified and risen Redeemer, we have a far greater Savior still. With every sin problem, there is abundant salvation and solution found in and with Him. Plus, notice through Christ's saving work, we are forever assured of the Father's constant love and protection over us, and we may be forever guaranteed of the Spirit's renewing and sanctifying work in our hearts and lives. Oh, how wonderful the comfort also that we don't have to depend on ourselves or trust in ourselves to persevere to the end in the Christian way. No, but to know rather God Himself assures me of eternal life and makes me sincerely willing and ready henceforth to live unto Him. This first question and answer mentions eternity too. Who of us thinks of eternity as we should? Just thinking of eternity in the one of two places that the Bible speaks of, are there not today so many false views of heaven and along with that so many erroneous views of hell? But Jesus gives us the true view of heaven and hell, and He alone is the way to heaven and our only escape from hell. Hear the Savior say thus in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father, you might say, to salvation and heavenly glory beyond this life, but by me. That's what Jesus says. You see, reconciliation with God comes only through the redeeming work of Christ the Savior. This is what the Bible teaches us and what the Heidelberg Catechism keeps coming back to again and again in all its faithful gospel instruction. Thinking of the complete comfort found belonging to Christ by true faith, what reasons God's people have to break out in doxology before God triune, saying with the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3 and 4, Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them who are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Do you know this God of all comfort, I ask you, dear friends, in Jesus' name? What is your only comfort in life and death? Is it belonging to Jesus Christ and enjoying this comfort so absolutely true, so absolutely complete, and notice next, so absolutely sure too? What makes it so absolutely sure, you ask? Well, is it not the fact that this comfort for Christians is all of God and through God, from beginning to end? The great comfort of the comfort with belonging to Christ is that Christ gives us salvation and comfort based all on the work of God and not in any way whatever dependent upon ourselves. How great comfort this gives when you know anything about yourself as sinner and sinful by nature, even when a true Christian. That salvation is of the Lord from start to finish without in any respect being dependent on us is something God's true people glory in over and over again. Oh, how crucial to understand this gospel message about the only comfort of belonging to Christ. The Bible clearly teaches us the Christian's only comfort so sure and providing all manner of consolation is all because essentially and ultimately it is all divinely planned comfort, divinely accomplished comfort, divinely given comfort, divinely promised comfort, divinely sealed comfort, and divinely guaranteed comfort. The triune God of the Bible, in all three persons and all together, is the very God who cannot lie and is always true to His word in every way. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. This is what the Holy Spirit-inspired prophet Isaiah was to proclaim, as stated in Isaiah 40, which passage further prophesies of Christ and His coming as Savior of sinners and as promised Messiah deliverer for us. So in a later chapter, Isaiah 53, the inspired prophet also foretells how Christ, as suffering Savior of sinners, would make full atonement for sin and accomplish true and complete and sure salvation for all God's elect people, whoever turns from sin and trusts and follows Christ as only Savior and Lord. Who are those who know and enjoy this only comfort as revealed and promised in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and who live and die happily in that comfort? Well, that is something we hope to consider more in another message, God willing. However, let me end this sermon now, just mentioning lastly yet that the Christian's only comfort is so absolutely gracious to, so absolutely free. By this I mean the comfort every true Christian may have is something most freely offered and freely given to all who confess their lost and hopeless condition of themselves and who flee to Jesus Christ as their only refuge and hope of deliverance. Does that include you? Coming back to our two scripture passages mentioned earlier then, namely Proverbs 3 and Acts 26, how those passages surely reflect so clearly the earnest appeal and call of God Triune Himself to all sinners to come to Jesus for the only true comfort in life and death, for body and soul. Come, come to Jesus, one and all, while He freely offers pardon and peace to all who come to Him. Jesus Christ, as the God-given and Spirit-anointed Savior of sinners, is able and willing to give freely a gospel comfort to all who come to Him. To give this gospel comfort indeed that is so absolutely true and complete and sure and gracious even for all who call upon Him. May no one listening now to this radio message fall for the empty comforts of this world and of false religions instead, like Festus did and King Agrippa too. Surely the comforts they pursued instead were and are all counterfeit comforts, which miserably and eternally fail us, false comforts that cost you everything and then leave you only in eternal hell forevermore. I preach to you, dear friends, in Jesus' name, proclaiming the only comfort in life and death is that of belonging to Christ in true faith and following after Him in true repentance and devotion in submission to all His holy word. Are you looking for this only comfort today? You find it still with Jesus Christ, the one and only Savior of sinners. Thus saith the Lord, the one true God and the only God of all comfort. In Jesus' name, amen. Dear friends, this radio broadcast is not meant as a substitute for worshiping in a faithful Bible-believing church. If you are not currently worshiping in such a church, you are most welcome to come to our services. To learn about the Free Reformed Churches in your area, check our website at www.frcna.org. Again, www.frcna.org. If you have been blessed by this message, or you would like a free copy of today's broadcast, you can write to The Banner of Truth, 680 Brook Park Drive, Southwest, Calgary, Alberta, T2W2R1. That's The Banner of Truth, 680 Brook Park Drive, Southwest, Calgary, Alberta, T2W2R1. We are always glad to hear from our listeners. And now, until next week, the Lord be with you all.
For more information about the Banner of Truth and the Free Reformed Churches of North America, visit our website at www.frcna.org. These radio messages are also being posted on the Internet and can be downloaded for free. Visit www.sermonaudio.com. and search on the Banner of Truth. Please join us again next week for the Banner of Truth broadcast.